way.
This is Free America broadcasting on the Rod Echo Show with a message to all patriots trapped behind the lines in California, New York, Boston, and Chicago. Don't give up, true lovers of America. Even as we speak, moves are being made to drive the invaders back to the land from which they came. Defeat the would-be dictators and lift the chains of tyranny from around your neck. Stay strong. Stay brave. You're not forgotten, and you're not alone. Until next time, patriots, this is Free America signing out.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Live from the Bunker Eye Studio, located somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is Live Free or Die, although we will be temporarily relocating from the Bunker Eye Studio soon, not looking for that, while they do some work in the Bunker Eye Studio. So where will I be coming from live? I don't know, somewhere. Fret not. We're not going to miss a beat. You're not even going to know any difference. You're not going to notice any difference, except I just won't say I'm coming to you live from the Bunker Eye Studio. But in any case, here it is, Tuesday, August number 21 in the year of our Lord, 2018. And I woke up this morning, and because last night I didn't even begin any show prep, because like I usually do. I usually begin the night before, and I didn't do any last night. I don't know. I was just in a fairly, not a lazy mood, but I was in a very relaxed, good mood. And I was just surfing the web. No, I didn't watch any TV. I was surfing the web, just, you know, watching all kinds of stupid, crazy, interesting videos over there on YouTube and BitChute. And I really wasn't paying all that much attention to anything. And oh, by the way, yeah, I have on Twitter, I'm being accosted. Accosted by a number of different. It's interesting. I'm sitting, still scratching my head this morning. I had the grammar police somebody stuck the grammar police on me. So I had a conversation with a self-realized grammar cop. It's Twitter, folks. The rules of grammar have been suspended on Twitter long ago. I didn't even realize that there were grammar police on Twitter. I had to explain myself with my often suspending grammatical rules on Twitter. I've also been, well, shall I say, accosted? Maybe it's just due to the sudden rise in my followership. I don't know, but all of a sudden, since this weekend, it is like a direct message, but from people I don't know, and they're all female. Hi, their first opening line. Yeah, I know this is going to be interesting. And then I get the million questions. You know, where are you from? What do you do? And even one of them had the brazen, you know, the gall to ask, well, how much do you make? Excuse me? So I got that. And now I have learned that I am an homophobic asshole. Now, let me explain. I'm a homophobic asshole because I do not want to import Muslims from the Middle East who want to kill gay people. That is the, yeah, I said it. I said, I don't think that we should cut off this, all this stuff with these migrants or immigrants or whatever you want to call them from the Middle East. After all, the Middle East and Islam still wants to kill gay people and they want to throw you off an 8-story building. And I don't want that. And then somebody who claims to be gay called me a homophobic asshole in that I should unfollow him. I'm like, okay. Well, first of all, I'm not going to unfollow you. Even if I am follow you, I just don't do it at somebody's request like that. If you don't like what I say, then just block me. I mean, that's stupid. I've never had anybody request, hey, unfollow me. How dumb is that? And just because he asked, you know, I might have saw a bunch of his stupid tweets anyway and just, you know, said, he's not worth following. But simply because he asked, I'm going to force him to block me. I mean, this is asinine. When did we start? And not to mention, now we got Chuck Schumer out there running around talking about how Donald Trump is a wannabe dictator. Again, I'm scratching my head thinking, okay, so the president who wants less regulation, smaller government, fewer taxes, less government in your life, that's a dictator? Did we change the definition of the word dictator? And they all just forgot to tell us. Because I always thought that a dictator wants total and absolute governmental control and power in his own hands. That's not Trump. So I'm trying to figure out who the hell, how could they even possibly even say any of this stuff? Well, you know, they could redefine the word. I get it, because they do a lot of that, redefining words. Isn't there a book out there about that now? And it's all based off of Clinton's, it all depends what the word is, or the meaning of the word is. I was telling people back then, I said, that's not a good sign, because the media isn't holding him accountable for saying that kind of BS. We're going to start, you know, rewriting dictionaries now. And words are going to start meaning any damn thing that they... I'm not talking about colloquial speech. I'm talking about, well, there's basically four kinds of languages. You've got the absolute proper, known as the king's language or the queen's language. That's often very close to business language or legal language. Then you have colloquial language. You know how everybody speaks in the street. You know, we use the slang terms where bad can also mean bad, but it can also mean good. You know, and cool is not only describes the weather, but a person. So that's colloquialism. And now we've got this fourth thing. Redefined terms that nobody knows the meaning of until they get slapped over the head with it. Like, you know, not wanting gay people to be killed by Islamists is now homophobic. No, he was clear. Not Islamophobic, homophobic. Now, I would have understood if he would have said I was Islamophobic. But the reason why he said homophobic is because evidently he supposedly is gay. And I got a follow-up. Well, you know, people like you who hate gay people. Wait. Let me hold on now. Let's back up. Was my tweet not about not wanting gays to be killed? How is that hate? I guess now, I suppose that would be a kind of a pro-LGB type of tweet. So I guess now if you are anything close to being pro-LGB, you're now homophobic. I guess because you want them to live. I don't know. I'm confused. I seriously. So I'm just surfing the web and playing on Gab and Twitter, And some of this stuff is coming across to me is absolutely, it's insanity. So we've redefined what the term homophobic is. Evidently, homophobic is now wanting gays to live, and you're not afraid of them, and you know you don't want them to not exist. So, well, personally, you know, I would. I'm beside myself with this kind of thing. I don't know where this sort of thing happens or comes from, but yeah. So they're rewriting all those kinds of words now, all the language. Be careful for the grammar police over there on Twitter. Now, I haven't run into any nut jobs like that on Gab yet. Just say, well, you know, I've had a couple of neo Nazis over there. You know, white supremacists, but shit, yeah, they're on Twitter too. They're everywhere. Well, at least they try to be everywhere. Their population numbers are. Has anybody noticed or heard or seen anything about the KKK? Yeah, they're having troubles recruiting people. Oh yeah, in a nation that is homophobic and racist, the main racist organization that is attached to the Democrat Party is having trouble recruiting members. You would think that if we are as racist as we are, the KKK numbers would be exploding, the skinhead numbers would be exploding, the Black Panther, New Black Panther numbers would be exploding, the Nation of Islam with Louis Farrakhan numbers would be exploding. They're all having trouble getting members, new members. Yeah, so that's, I don't know, maybe that's just proves that we're a racist nation because, you know, because you got a bunch of liberals running around out there saying how bad it is to be white now, and they're white. So do we have a anti-white movement brewing up? No. Because there are people, the interesting thing about this is that you've got a bunch of, you know, millennial whites running around talking about white privilege and how bad, you know, white people are. And even whites saying that whites should kill themselves. Well, not to be morbid, but how about you start with yourself? I mean, honestly, have you looked in the mirror lately? But the people who are standing in the gap to stop this nonsense are a bunch of non-white people. Does anybody notice that? You know, you get some idiot on Twitter who's white, who goes all anti-white, and you get a bunch of blacks and Latinos in there saying, what are you, stupid, crazy, idiot? What? Nothing wrong with being white. I find that amazing, too. So in order to try to placate minorities, they're saying that white people, oh, yeah, we white people are terrible. And the minorities are saying, you must be kind of some kind of stupid. We're living in an amazing time, folks. To see what we are seeing today is absolutely, nobody would have thought of this, you know, 50 years ago. Well, 60 years ago. You go back to the 50s and 60s, and if you were to bring those people straightforward into the USA today, they would not recognize their own country. They would say, this is fiction. Fiction. Oh, yeah, and speaking of fiction, we've got a fiction writer out there trying to say that Donald Trump is full of fiction. I don't know if J.K. Rowling is quite capable of discerning between the fiction that she writes and reality. I don't think she can. I don't think she can. Now here's a billionaire's author. Maybe Monday was just crazy day because all this stuff was happening. So I did not do any show prep last night because I don't know, maybe somebody slipped me a Mickey or something. No, I didn't even know. They must have put it in my cigar because it's all I did. I had Pepsi, not Coke, Pepsi and a cigar and YouTube and BitChute and a little bit of Twitter and Gab. And then, you know, I said, you know what? I'm feeling good. Let's call it an early night. I went to bed early. I can't remember the last time I've done that. So yeah, I'm well rested. But I got up this morning thinking, well, it's going to be a slow news day. And boy, I was wrong. It is not a slow news day. People that there's somebody who hasn't been that's been missing in action. Well, he's kind of sort of back, but kind of sort of back not because of him, but because somebody decided to write a wonderful, beautiful, glowing, ridiculous article of David Hogg. We're going to cover that. Ocasio-Cortez. You won't believe what kind of safe space she says that she needs now. Remember, this woman's running for Congress. there is something new out there in the Me Too movement. It's called She Too movement. We're going to cover that. And Soros has been caught ran head in something. And we're going to get all into all this stuff today. And we're going to try to get to it all. Plus a couple other things I wanted to get to yesterday that we just didn't have time to. But here's an update, by the way. Now, yesterday, this is something new I found late this morning. I covered it yesterday telling you people, you know, you people who are all about apps and that type of thing. Well, and I told you how it's not that great to have those things because you can turn off certain functions of your phone. But as soon as you turn on one of those apps that requires the use of one of those things that you've turned off, like your GPS or location finder, it all gets turned back on. Automatically. Usually doesn't even ask you. It just does it. Why? Because you've already given it permission to access it. So if you're now I know on my phone, if I use my map, you know, Waze, it says, you know, you must turn on location finder, you know, GPS. Do you want to turn it on? And yeah, I say, okay, I'm using the map. Yeah, I got to turn it on. No other app does that. And I know that unless I'm directly using it, I keep that crap off on my phone. And there are plenty of times after I've used an app, including Instagram. Now, I don't have many apps on my phone. But when I use an app, and I go and I'm just flipping through and checking the stuff to see what's on and off, and the GPS is on. Well, I only use Instagram. Instagram turned on my GPS. Why? Well, anyway, I've warned people about this kind of stuff and everybody having a desire to want apps are loaded with spyware, folks. They are. So again, I don't want to hear anybody ask, well, do they got an app for this? I don't care if they do or don't. Stop using apps. It's ridiculous. You know, somebody gave me an idea, but if you want to use it, I know it's kind of useless if you're on the run, but if you want to use an app, get a second phone. A second phone that is Wi-Fi capable that can connect to the internet. Why? Because you don't need a phone number for it. And if you want to use an app, did you know that you could use your app in a hotspot without going through cell towers? Yeah, you can do that. So if you want to use an app, carry a second phone and only use it in the hotspot area. And I'm like, you know what? I got an extra phone laying around. I got an old Galaxy. If I'm going to use apps, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just stick them all in that thing. Well, what if you're out in the middle of nowhere? I don't need an app in the middle of nowhere because if I'm in the middle of nowhere, what am I doing? I'm usually driving. And you can't use or should not be using apps while you're driving anyway unless it's a map. But in any case, so there's an idea for your safety and well, you're just paranoid. Am I really? Am I really paranoid? I'm one of the least paranoid people that you'll ever know. But yet, you have to understand. You have to understand that this is stuff that I do. You want people knowing, government people knowing everywhere you go? Because let me tell you something. And there are people out there, now I haven't experienced this yet, but there are people out there who've experienced, well, you were here, 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 explain yourself. You know, they're sitting in front of a cop or something, and they're asking them questions. Well, you were here, here, and here. And you're like, what? How'd you know I was there? You're going to find yourself in a position where you don't want to find yourself simply because, you know, you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. And now you got to splain yourself, Lucy. It happens a lot every day, folks, a lot more than you think. And because of that, a man is now suing Google over location history fiasco. And this lawsuit could affect millions of people, including you. Now, Google is facing new scrutiny in the wake of revelations that it stores users' location data even when location history is turned off. Did I not tell you that yesterday? This is a new story, folks. I didn't see this yesterday. This came out. I saw this late this morning, just before coming on the air. That's why I'm talking to you about it first, because it's the last thing that I saw. Last Friday, Google quietly edited its description of the practice of on its own website while continuing said practice to clarify that some location data may be saved as part of your activity on other services like search and maps. You know, all those wonderful privacy notice things, first of all, it's a bunch of gobbledygook legalese BS. Second of all, even if you understand even half of it, it doesn't tell you the whole damn story. Why? Because it's only pertinent to that one particular aspect of that particular service or app. If there's another part to the app or service, it's got a whole different set of rules and regulations that it's telling you that it's following. You got to read every. In other words, you've got to read an encyclopedia just to use the damn internet. They do this stuff on purpose, folks. And they change this stuff on a whim. Just take a look at Twitter. You remember a couple of weeks ago when Alex Jones was still on Twitter and everybody was complaining, and they said, well, he hasn't broken any of our terms of service yet. And then Twitter changed their terms of service, and sure enough, videos that he had posted on Twitter that didn't break terms of service when he posted them, all of a sudden break them, and now he's gone. They change his stuff on a whim. So and most of it, believe it or not, most of the time, they don't even really tell you. Because sometimes they'll do this little stupid thing, well, you know, agree to our new terms of service before you continue. And people don't even read the damn thing. They just say okay, because they want to get to the app or whatever they're doing. They don't have time to read 50,000 pages of legalese bullshit. But folks, more often than not, because they only tweak something, one paragraph somewhere, they don't have to inform you of it. Not in that way. There's no government regulation that they have to inform you that way. And so they don't. And so unbeknownst to you, one day you're following the rules, the next day you're not. Happens all the time. Oh, we're not going to follow you if you do this, but the next day the rules change. Oh, now we're going to be able to follow you. And you're still using the app, so you automatically agree. You know, every time you turn on the app, you agree to use the terms of service. That's automatic. Did you know that? When you use the app today, you're agreeing to the terms of service today. Not yesterday. Whatever the terms of service is today, that's what you agree to. Every time you use it. Do you take the time to read that damn thing every single day before you get online? No, nobody does. Not even lawyers. So as a result of the previously unknown practice, which was first exposed by the Associated Press, Google has now been sued by a man in San Diego. Simultaneously, activists in Washington, D.C. are urging the Federal Trade Commission to examine whether the company is in breach of its 2011 consent decree with the agency. So you have all these terms of, you know, even some websites. You look down at the bottom and there's this terms of service and you click on it. And I've gone to some of them and I'm thinking, good. It's just a website with a bunch of pictures on it. You know, like TMZ or something. What? I'm not signing into anything. What the hell is a terms of service? Just use TMZ. Folks, this is what's out there. You got to pay attention.
You're listening to The Rod Eccles Show, the coolest, most politically incorrect, conservative black man on the planet.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosett Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosettJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate, to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
So what we got going on is you've got a guy who's suing Google over. Look, this is. I know everybody's trying to pick on Google for this type of thing, but this is not just about Google. This is about the reason why they're picking on Google because Google has a browser, you know, Chrome, and one of the things about the Firefox and Ubuntu browsers. What's the Ubuntu browser? I don't use that one, but I know they have one. I think Ubuntu is a part of Linux. It's the user-friendly side of Linux, because Linux is an operating system. And I think, because a lot of people don't know what Linux is. I guess the best way to put this is in the old Microsoft Windows, there was two parts of it. There was DOS, and Windows used to sit on top of it and interact with it. And Ubuntu and Linux are, I guess, pretty much the same. It's the best. I could have it totally wrong. Like I said, I'm not a techie, but this is the best way that I can explain how the two operate together. And Ubuntu is the user friendly surface, where Linux is behind the scenes, is like DOS, and you got to really know what you're doing in order to mess around with Linux. Although Linux is supposed to be a lot simpler and less complicated than DOS, but works better. This is from what I understand. Again, I'm not a techie, so you know, don't take my word as gospel on this stuff. I get easily confused with how all this stuff works. Trust me. I'm not an expert on this stuff. But I do know that browser and Firefox often tout themselves as being browsers that don't track you the way Internet Explorer and Chrome does. Does anybody use Internet Explorer? I know every computer still comes with it, but does anybody really use it? I mean, they use it at first to go get what? To go download like Chrome and Firefox and the other browsers, and then that seems like that's all I do with it. Well, you know, I can't remember the last time I honestly used Internet Explorer. The last time I can honestly remember using it is going there because I didn't have any other browser, because, you know, most computers still do not come loaded with any other browser but Internet Explorer. So I used it to go find my alternate browsers and download them. And that was the last time I think I used it. And I may have used it intermittently here and there because, you know, maybe Chrome was being a bitch or something. I can't remember the last time I used it. Does anybody still use it? And not even on my phone. Well, you know, the phones that I get, I don't have, you know, Apple phones or anything, but the phones that I get always seem to come with Google Chrome preloaded. And except for this newest phone, I've always used Google to go and download the Firefox mobile browser. And that's what I've always used on my phones, except for this latest one, which doesn't like the Firefox browser at all. It did not, from day one, didn't like it. Mm-mm. So unfortunately, I had to go with Chrome on this latest phone. But the next phone I get, which is probably going to have to be soon, can somebody please explain to me, please, how your phone, the glass, you know, your phone screen, is sitting on your nightstand, not even being touched, and it's flat like it always is, and it cracks? Can somebody explain to me that? No joke, it is on my nightstand. I hear this, you know how glass sounds when it cracks. I'm like, what the hell was that? Did somebody break a window? And I'm looking, I don't, windows in the bedroom, they're fine. So I pick up my phone, notice my screen is cracked. I'm like, what the hell? I didn't do anything to it. It was just sitting there. It was, I was minding my own business, and my phone was minding its own business, and it decided to go, tsh, like, really? So I swear to God, these things have planned obsolescence in them. One day, they're designed to self-destruct. You know, remember the original Mission Impossible? This message will self-destruct in 5 seconds. Well, I am convinced that that's the way a lot of portable technology is designed today. Did you know that back in the 70s? Oh, yeah, auto manufacturers, and especially American manufacturers, got in trouble for this. They had designed obsolescence built in. Did you know that the reason why most cars back built in the 70s didn't reach the 100,000-mile mark is because they were designed to break before then? All right, go back and look. You can research. They were actually designed to break before then. It's why nobody ever had a car that was, you know, back then. Anybody have any unless they're the sports cars, like maybe a Mustang or something like that. Does anybody have a 70s car anymore? No, because they cost too much to fix because they were constantly breaking. After you reach that 50,000 mile mark, you were done. That was a throwaway car. That's why in the 80s, the American auto manufacturers were in big trouble. That's why the Japanese were kicking their ass, because they were designing cars that lasted longer than 100,000 miles. And people got tired of having to go buy a new car every 3 or 4 years. I don't blame them, or 2 years. And now what do we have? Is the precision of technology that much better? No. The basic motor or engine is still basically the same. The internal combustion engine really hasn't changed at all in 100 years. It's still a lot of stuff that fits on top of it has changed, but the internal combustion engine itself is basically the same damn thing. Not much has changed. So have we all of a sudden gotten a lot better at making the internal combustion engine over the last 20 or 30 years? No. It's just that they're no longer designed to fail on you, which is why people have cars that now go 200, 300, 400,000 miles, even when they don't baby them and properly take care of them. Because they always could be built that way. They just weren't on purpose. So I'm wondering if personal electronic devices are this way. Honestly, I mean, they're just built just to fall apart one day on you, and you're forced to go buy something new. If you want to keep using that. Well, hey, you know, you can do all that. That's a conspiracy theory, man. Well, is it really? It wasn't a conspiracy theory about 70s, you know, 1970s autos. That's a fact. And the proof is, you know, you got cars from the 50s and 60s on the road today. You don't see many 70s on the road. Just saying. Think about that. Because auto manufacturers thought that they were being clever, they were going to increase their sales by causing people to buy them more often. Now, remember, companies design themselves to be your auto car company for life. That's why they have so many nameplates. General Motors was famous for that. Now, because, hey, you started off, you bought a Chevy. You know, you got the cheap car, you got a Chevy. And then you got yourself a job, so you wanted to be a little bit more prestigious, so you went and you got yourself a Plymouth. Now you got a promotion, now you need a Buick. You haven't quite made it yet, but there is that new vehicle for your 40s that's called an Oldsmobile. And then once you've really made it in your late 40s, your 50s, and maybe even your 60s, you buy the Cadillac. All the car manufacturers were like that. They had nameplates that were designed to keep you as a customer for life. But in order for them to keep you on board, they had to recycle you quite often. So because, you know, Americans are pretty frugal. Actually, well, when it comes to big stuff like that, back, you know, big Americans can be, you know, they didn't want to spend their money like that. If they didn't have to. So the only way that you could get Americans not to be so frugal with their cars was just to make it too expensive for them to fix it, and to fix it too often. Built-in obsolescence. So when they come back, You know, they'll have a Chevy for two or three years, and they'll come back. They'll probably buy another Chevy for another 2 or 3 years, and then they're going to want to move up. Almost by decade. So you're just out of high school, you're college, you get a Chevy, get your first job, you got a Chevy. You get a your first promotion at work. You're in your late 20s, early 30s. You can move up to a Plymouth. You become a family man. You get married, start to have kids. So now you need that Buick. And you get into your 40s, you start having some success, your kids are getting older, you get that Oldsmobile, man. And then finally the kids go off to college, and you and the good wife, you know, you got that last promotion in your career, and you're going to get that Cadillac to really show it off now, man. That's not made up stuff. That's actually literature from GM. So, you know, when people say, I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all. I just take stuff that is already out there. And it doesn't take much to put two and two together to make it four, folks. It really doesn't. So if I'm just laying in bed with my phone next to me, both of us minding our own business, and all of a sudden the screen cracks, well, unless the ghost came by with an invisible hammer, there's no reason for it to shatter like that or crack. None. No explanation. Just besides it. Well, how are they going to cause it to crack, Rod? Huh? I don't know. I'm not an electronics wizard. They can cause your phone to do all kinds of things, can they not? Yes, they can. Just saying. I don't trust anyone. When it comes to electronics, trust no one. Understand that they're all trying to get you at some point, some way, somehow. Trust no one. And you Apple believers out there, you better stop trusting Apple as much as you do, because now they're in bed with the Chinese government. Yeah, you haven't heard that? Yeah. Well, they are. So this guy is filed a lawsuit, which was filed in federal court last Friday. In San Francisco, attorneys representing a man named Napoleon Patasil, Patasil, I-L, argued that Google, it is kind of ill, argued that Google is violating the California Invasion of Privacy Act. I love how California puts it, Invasion of Privacy Act, and the state's constitutional right to privacy, or privacy. If you will. I didn't know California had in their constitution that you have a right to privacy. It's probably one of the least private states in the union. One of the most heavily regulated states in the two most. I think I did see this. There was a survey done, you know, the least business friendly states, meaning the most regulation and highest taxes. California was in the top five, along with New York. So privacy? Really? I don't think you have much. But the lawsuit seeks class action status, and it would include both an Android class phone and iPhone class phones for the potential millions of people in the U.S. with such phones who turned off their location history and nonetheless had it recorded by Google. It will likely take months longer for the judge to determine whether there is sufficient class. I don't think it's going to take all that long to figure it out. Now that the story's out there, a bunch of people are probably going to say, hey, yeah, man, I turned off mine and they got all my stuff too. Won't take long. Trust me on that. by the way, here's a news story that just came in. At least I just saw it. President Trump, he's a Nazi. Remember? Isn't that what the left says? Well, and the left wants to get rid of ICE. Well, guess what just happened? President Trump and ICE have just deported what they believe to be the last Nazi death camp guard or Nazi from World War II living in the U.S. of A. A man who authorities believe is the last known Nazi collaborator living in the U.S. has been arrested and deported to Germany. At the order of President Donald Trump, Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents removed 95-year-old J-A-K-I-W, a Palij, P-A-L-I-J, from his Queens, New York home. He was residing in New York City under de Blasio. Just saying, good old de Blusterous. Justice Department's officials say Palij served as an armed guard at a death camp in Nazi-occupied Poland and later lied to American immigration officials about his role in those atrocities when he entered the U.S. after the war. He was Polish, but he's being extradited to Germany. He's 95. I guess the long arm of the international law never stops looking for you, even when you're 95. Now, folks, you have to understand, I am not one of these people who believes in so-called war crimes. There is no such thing. It's war. That's all it is. It's war. And things happen in war that do not happen in peacetime. All kinds of things happen during war that do not happen in peacetime. And those things are really all designed for that particular side who's committing them to win the war. Now, understand that this crap is only happening to make us feel better. I mean, honestly, if we would have lost World War II, do you think the Germans would be out there hunting people down for different so-called war crimes on our side? You better believe they would. But there is no such thing as a war crime. It's war. It's an oxymoron. War itself is a crime. Honestly. It really is. But nobody's arresting soldiers left and right because they went to war. Because that's dumb. Because that's what war is. It's just war. You know, everything that you do in war is designed to defeat the enemy. Kill more of them, faster than they can kill you. That's how you win. Well, they didn't have to gather up all the Jews, Rod, and other people, you know, and exterminate nearly 12 million people total. Yeah, they did. That was part of their war. And you may think, well, now you're being a Nazi sympathizer. No, I'm not. This is do people out there think that this is the first time this sort of thing has happened in our history? Honestly, it is not. It's still going on, by the way. Genocide is still happening. There are countries that are in civil war that are doing the same damn thing. And far more than 6 million people have disappeared from this planet since World War II. Now, I'm not trying to denigrate what the Jews had to go through in the 30s and 40s in Nazi Germany. But remember, it just wasn't the Jews. It was a total of about 12 million people, half of which were Jews. Let's understand our full history, folks. And then you start moving into places like Southeast Asia in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. You get people like Pol Pot over in Cambodia, of which, you know, somebody tries to tell their story who's running for Congress here in the United States and Facebook blocks the ad. And, of course, you had all that crap going on, still going on on the continent of Africa. Now we've got white people in South Africa who are having genocide committed on them. Is anybody talking about it? No. And as a matter of fact, you know, they started taking some of the white farmers' land now. The first white-owned farms are officially been taken over by the government in South Africa. White farmers are being murdered left and right. I'm surprised. I don't even know why any of them are still there. And you know what some of them are saying? Well, they live on all this acreage, man. They have all the, and other people are just living in squalor. Well, guess what? They live on all that acreage because they're growing food for you, you jackass. And you take over these white farmers' land and you're not farming it. You put up squalid tent cities so you can spread out. Oh, give me a break. Okay, now you got a nice roomy tent now so you can starve in it. And come on, people, wake up. This kind of thing is happening all the time today. I am not saying forget about what happened in the 1940s. Not at all. But to have this sort of tunnel vision that is only on half the people that were exterminated during World War II. I mean, that's tunnel vision. And don't say, well, Rod, it's because the Jews run the media. No, they don't. That's a bunch of BS, too. All this is a political agenda. Political agendas are everywhere, and you better wake up to this fact. Should we be talking about the genocide of the Jews during World War II? Yes. Should we not also be talking about the genocide of the other 6 million people that the Nazis exterminated? Yes. Because who else did the Nazis exterminate? They exterminated blacks. They exterminated Eastern Europeans because they didn't like the Russians. They exterminated gays. You know how Jews had the Star of David pinned on all their clothing? Well, gays had pink triangles pinned on all their clothing. They went through the same process as Jews did. Some estimates put as many as 250,000 gay people were exterminated in Nazi death camps during World War II. That's a lot. Considering most people, the vast majority of them, tried to hide their sexuality, they weren't out. You couldn't hide being a Jew very easily, but you could sure as hell could hide being gay. And they still found them. And you still have things going on in places like you would not believe that are still going on. Mostly in African countries right now, Middle Eastern countries. Lots of genocide going on. 60s and 70s, we had Cambodia, Thailand, all that stuff was, you know, Pol Pot and all those kind of people. And now it looks like it might be happening south of our border in South America. People better wake up. This is not 1940 anymore. There's no such thing as a war crime. Crimes against humanity. Oh, please. That's also a bunch of crock. But hey, do you see the left praising Donald Trump for getting rid of and holding accountable a former Nazi? No. Not at all. He's still a Nazi. See, one thing about Nazis, though, you know, if you're talking about Hitler, they didn't turn in their own. They didn't turn on themselves. Throughout the 70s and 80s, they were supposedly catching these, you know, these alleged Nazi war criminals. And were they turning on anybody? No. No, all they would do is deny that they were a Nazi. And when they were proven to be who they were, who they were accused of being, did they still turn on anybody and turn anybody else in? No. Nazis didn't turn on each other. Kind of amazing, actually, but you know, they really didn't. So if Trump's a Nazi, why is he turning in another Nazi? That's against their character. Hey, that's like, you know, the KKK doesn't turn in anybody either. They don't turn on each other. Unless, of course, you turn your back on the KKK, then they sort of excommunicate you. But they don't turn. Racists don't turn on racists, especially to the benefit of whom the racists hate. Absolutely not. Think a Nazi's going to turn in a Nazi for the benefit of the Jew? Hell no. Y'all better start thinking about this stuff. I mean, I can't be the only one who's really thinking. And this is not deep thinking either. This is just thinking below the headlines. That's all. That's all it is. I'm not getting really deep into the muck here. Anyway, we'll be back.
I'm not Rod Eccles, and I approve this message.
Yeah. It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool.